Wow, what a blessing to get to have a personal inside glimpse on what God is doing in the lives of our students. It's nerve-wracking to come up here and to stand in front of our whole church family, but then to open up your heart and to share kind of your personal journey, that's just a big gift. And so I want to say thanks to all of our grads that are willing to share and willing to open up. The truth is, I wish you could hear all of our students, not just all the grads that are sharing this year, but I wish you could hear what God is doing in the lives of so many of our students. We are blessed to have an incredible group of students that are part of this church. I have to tell you that as the pastor for Student Ministries here, my greatest privilege is having a front row seat from which to watch what God is doing in the lives of this generation. It's a privilege to watch many of our students coming to see who Jesus is, some of them for the first time. It's an incredible privilege to watch faith taking shape in their lives, to see them growing in their understanding of the Lord, to see them living out their commitments to God in a world that does not make it easy, and then to see many of them exerting godly influence and leadership among their peers on their campuses, starting faith clubs at their schools, starting Bible studies among their friends. It's a privilege to get to be a part of all of that. And there's nothing better than getting to be up close to the action of what God's doing there. But of course, as you know, the other side of that picture is that our students have a lot of struggles. They face a lot of obstacles and challenges that they have to overcome. The process of growing into a faith is never a neat and tidy process. And the truth is that our students are not done yet. They are a beautiful work in progress. God is not finished with what He is doing in their lives. But the great thing is that our students know that. Our students know that they're still in the process of becoming who God wants them to be. They know that they're still in that process of figuring it all out. And so one of the things I love most about working with students is that there's an openness in them, a curiosity and a questioning, a willingness literally to ask any question, no matter how awkward it might be. And I don't think that we're supposed to lose that as we get older, but I think most of us do. I think as we grow up into this thing called adulthood, that many of us stop asking some of the most important questions, not because we've got all the answers, but because we think we're already supposed to. We think that we're supposed to have it all together. So our students are still a work in progress, but the reality is, friends, all of us are still a work in progress. God is not done with any of us. We still need to grow. Every one of us, we still need to get to know Christ better. We still need to deepen and develop our faith in Him. So every year as we get ready to send off another group of our graduating seniors off to college to go and to do life on their own in a new environment, there's a new group of parents worrying anxiously about how they're going to do. There's a new set of small group leaders and friends and adults who've invested in them, wondering about how they're going to do on their own, not just in school and not just in a new social environment, but how they're going to do in their relationship with God. And the difficult fact is that many of our students struggle in college. They struggle to hold on to their faith. They struggle to keep connected to Jesus and to continue living for Him. Some of them thrive and grow in their faith through their college years, but statistically, the reality is, as I've shared before, upwards of about half of the students that are graduating with a vibrant, living faith in Jesus will see that faith drift and fade through their college years. And that concerns us as youth ministry, it concerns us as their church family, and it should. And so this weekend, as we're celebrating our students, as we're celebrating what God is doing in their lives, as we think about what we want to give to them as they get ready to head out, I want to share with all of us exactly what I want to share with them. The reality is that there is a universal tendency for our faith to drift. It's just a result of our human nature. It's a result of the world that we live in. And C.S. Lewis, who's a great Christian writer, a really insightful person who was a big influence through his writings on my own spiritual journey in my college years, summed this perspective up in a really insightful way. Because he knew that faith was not something that we filled into the holes in our logic and reason. Faith was something that supported our logic and reason. And yet, in spite of that, even our deepest convictions had a tendency to drift. And so this is what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity. Faith is the art of holding on to things that your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. That's a great statement. Faith is the art of holding on to things that your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. And do our moods change a lot or what? Our faith in Christ, our confidence in him, our assurance of what he's done for us and all that he's inviting us into, all of that is much less stable and permanent inside us than we'd like to think. Spiritual drift happens in every one of us. Spiritual drift happens in every one of us, whether it's our students heading off to college or whether it's those of us who are just kind of continuing on in our familiar lives. And that's not usually the result of thoughtful questions or intellectual struggles, but simply because as human beings, we're inconsistent, we're emotional, and we're so easily influenced by the changing circumstances around us. Of course, there are some big, important questions that will come along to challenge our understanding of God, but those aren't usually what pull our faith away from us. In fact, if you really wrestle thoughtfully with those kinds of questions, they have a tendency to deepen our understanding of God, not diminish it. What causes our faith to drift isn't so much those intellectual challenges as much as just the social influences and the emotional experiences that we have, often just our own internal inconsistencies. It turns out that it takes intentional effort just to hold on to our convictions, to what we know is true, to our confidence in Jesus. It takes intentional effort simply to stand in the place where God has brought us. Now, I know what you're thinking. Most of the time, it doesn't take a lot of effort just to stand still in one spot. But that's not true when you're standing in the waves. When you're standing in the waves, it takes real effort to just stay put in one place. If you've ever taken your kids to the beach, you know what I'm talking about. You want to let them go out and play in the waves. You tell them, this is how far out you can go. This is how deep you can go into the water. And then stay right here in front of where I'm sitting so I can watch you. And then pretty quickly, without them even realizing it, they're not where they thought they were. The waves push our kids around. And in the midst of playing and enjoying that, they drift with the current. And pretty soon, we're up and running to tell them to come back up the shore to where they were supposed to be. As we send our students off to college, we know that they're going to be surrounded by waves and currents of influences that would pull them away from their faith in Christ. But what might be less obvious to all of us is that the rest of us are surrounded by some really similar waves and currents, the influences of a world that does not support our faith, the influences of a world that does not share our convictions and our beliefs about Christ. And so we have to all be reminded that faith is not automatic. It takes intentional effort. It takes some regular practices to reinforce what God is building in us. So I want to share with you a passage from the Bible that gives us some encouragement in this direction. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. And in this passage, Paul is sharing God's desire for his people to deepen their faith and to grow into spiritual maturity. And he explains that Jesus gave different roles to different people in his church body in order to build them up, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That kind of maturity that Paul's talking about is the goal for all of us. And I think we can confidently kind of nod our heads and say we're not there yet. And then Paul goes on to describe what that maturity will look like. And he says this, in verses 14 to 16. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, when Paul wrote that letter to the church in the city of Ephesus, he was writing to adults, but he says the hope is that we would no longer be infants. He didn't mean to be insulting by that, but what he meant is that we all still need to grow. All of us, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, still have a tendency to be tossed back and forth by the influences around us. There's an intensity of that struggle for our students when they go off to college because they leave behind everything that's been an anchor and a support for their faith, but really all of us need to fight against the spiritual drift that can happen so subtly without us even realizing it. So how do we do that? How do we deepen and strengthen our faith instead of letting it drift? What do our students need to do to keep from losing the strength of their faith and their connection to Christ? What are the intentional ways that we can work to hold on to what God has given us and to pursue the ways that God wants us to grow as his disciples? The answer might sound a little simplistic. I actually hope it sounds very familiar. But the answer is really no different than what we continually are encouraging us to be pursuing week after week, what we call our discipleship path. What our students need to be intentional about when they head off to college is what we all need to be intentional about week after week. We need to worship, we need to connect, we need to serve. We need to worship to remind our hearts and our minds of who matters most. We need to connect with other believers who encourage us and build us up in our faith. We need to serve God's purposes to put our faith into action. And I think that's exactly what we see actually in this passage from Ephesians 4. Listen to what Paul said when he described that kind of maturity that keeps our faith from drifting. He said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When Paul talks about speaking the truth, he's talking about the truth, God's truth, the truth about Christ. We need to speak that truth and hear it spoken to us again and again. Our hearts and our minds need to continually be reminded of that truth, even of what we already know to be true. We need to continually redirect our thoughts to God. That is worship. Worship is simply the work we do to remind our own souls and the friends around us that God is God. Reminding our souls of what really matters most. That's why we gather together here each weekend. That's why we need to open our Bibles regularly to hear from God again and again. That's why worship is so important to our souls. There's a simple saying that gets right at this point. It's this: the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. You're gonna remember that one. The most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. That's what worship does for us. It reminds us that no matter what else might be distracting us or stressing us out or even getting us fired up, that nothing in this world matters more than the one who gave it all to us. Worship is not something that we come to. Worship is something that we do. It's something that we need to be intentional about. We need to make it a regular practice every day to redirect our focus on the one who matters most, to keep the most important thing as the most important thing in our lives, because that's what anchors our faith. So we need to worship. We also need to connect. This was Kathy's encouragement to us just a couple weeks ago as we were celebrating this community that God has given us here at CPC. And I know that it's hard for our students as they head off to college, or for any of us when we move someplace new, to find a place to connect with other Christians that feels comfortable, especially at first, because new connections never feel the same as old ones. But we need those connections to grow. My faith actually needs your faith. In fact, that's the reason that it's so valuable for us to hear from each other as we share what God is doing for us and what God is doing in us. That's why we invite people to share their experiences of God from time to time when we gather together. Your faith encourages my faith. Now, I don't want to suggest that God wants us to surround ourselves entirely with just those who believe what we believe, But we absolutely do need to be connected to others who share our faith, who are pursuing Jesus with us. The more isolated we get from other Christians, the more our faith will drift. If we go back and look at this passage in Ephesians 4, you'll see that Paul is talking about how we need to grow not individually, but together. And he uses a particular word and image that we see in several places in the Bible. He's talking about us growing to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This image of the body means that we're supposed to be something together, that God pulls us together and connects us to each other to function collectively and to care for each other. We don't just belong to Christ as individuals, we belong to Christ together as his body, joined and held together, as this passage says. Now that's figurative language, but what it means is very concrete and very practical. We belong in each other's lives. We need each other, and that's the way God designed it. Alone, my faith will drift no matter how strong I think it is. We need to continually connect with other believers to grow in our faith. We won't make it alone. That's what I want our students to hear, and that's what I think all of us need to be reminded. We need people who will hold on to us as we strive to hold on to Christ. We need people who are holding on to us as we're striving to hold on to Christ. And we're a lot safer out in those waves if we're out in them together. And then lastly, we need to serve. Serving isn't just something that's nice for us to do. Our faith actually gets strangely ingrown and stunted if we're not putting it into action for others. 15 years ago, a pastor in Southern California named Rick Warren wrote a book that became a bestseller called The Purpose-Driven Life. I'm guessing a lot of you have read that book. Do you remember the opening line of that book? It's one of the best opening lines ever. He simply said this, "It's not about you." That's a good reminder. It is not about you. So much of this world is telling us that this life is ultimately about us and what we want to get out of it. But it's really not about us. Life is bigger than that. And yet our souls tend to lose sight of that simple truth. We are a part of a bigger story. It's about God and about what he is doing in our world. And he's inviting us into that story if we're willing to be a part of it, to be a part of what God is doing even today. And our faith grows the most when we serve God's purposes, when we get outside of ourselves, when we do the things that will help us to care about what God cares about. That's what it means to serve. Paul reminds us in this passage from Ephesians 4 that we have work to do. And so it ends with this statement, "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Now, he's not talking about the ordinary kind of work that just keeps people busy. He's talking about the work that God gives us to do to serve others and to fulfill his purposes. Again, that won't just happen. It's an intentional choice that we need to make. Most people around us, if you notice, are very busy, but few are serving God. Here's the bottom line for all of us, just as it's the bottom line for our students. If we don't invest in intentional efforts, in ways to remind our souls of who matters most, if we don't work to stay connected with others who share and encourage our faith, if we don't get involved in serving God's purposes, our faith will drift and fade. And that's true whether you're a student walking into a major life transition or whether you're remaining here in familiar surroundings. We all need to invest in those choices and patterns that will strengthen our faith and deepen our connection to Jesus. As I close, for the sake of our students, there's some things that I want all of our students to hear from us as their church family, our younger students, our older students. What I want you to hear from all of us is this: we love you. We know that you're a big part of what makes CPC such a great church. We want you to thrive in your faith here and wherever God leads you, and we are going to be praying for you. And that's what I'd like to do right now. Would all of you just join your hearts with mine as we take a moment to pray for this to sink into us and to be a blessing to our students? Lord Jesus, you know better than we do how easily we drift away from you as the influences, as our own emotions and internal inconsistencies just undermine our commitment to you. And yet, Lord, you are continually drawing us back to you. And so, Father, I pray that as your body, as your people, that we would be intentional about the ways that we pursue you and strengthen our faith. And for our students, Lord, that are getting ready to head into a new chapter of life, we pray especially for them, Lord, that you would hold them close to your heart, that you would guide them into those connections and those opportunities to be reminded of who you are and how important you are, to find other believers to encourage them, that you would lead them into opportunities to live out their faith in life-changing ways. We pray, Lord, your care and your protection over them, and we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.